Mini episode 523 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number 1stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. It's your favorite football-talking FDH Lounge dignitaries, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. This is now the third year that we've done this, gathering after the NFL season. It's our look ahead with a little bit of a look behind. It's that kind of caught in the middle kind of a thing here for the 2014 and 2015 NFL seasons. And the first of our eight segments that we're doing is the AFC East, which is a division for the as long as we've been doing this, and I'd say even longer, this division is what Dennis Green thought it was and probably still will be next year, Kyle Ross.
By the way, a very comfortable addition
yes.
of the FDH Lounge here. We're really lounging. I mean, my God, you've spared no expense. I mean, the illusion of professionalism has gone out right out the window here. I mean, you're kicking back. I mean, you're not even in an office chair. You're just doing a recliner
I'm
here.
I'm in my recliner.
What, you got house slippers on, too?
Yeah, I do.
Should I brought a sleeping bag today?
My Browns high top slippers. You like that? You like
Jesus
that touch?
Christ, how long have you had those? No wonder Ernest Biner fumbled. That's what he was wearing, probably.
Probably, yeah. You put some cleats on these things, we'd be good to go.
Yeah, anyway, to your point,
yes.
By the way, it's a pleasure to always be on the program.
Thank you.
6 years in a row, the Patriots have won the AFC East.
Yep.
12 of the last 14.
Wow.
So, before we get to this division, though,
mm-hmm.
I want to take a macro look at the AFC.
Okay.
Before we go division by division.
Sure.
Because the win distribution mm-hmm. among the conference was very bizarre.
Right.
This year, you had four really horrible teams.
Right.
Right. Jets, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Oakland.
Right.
And largely, most people thought those would be horrible teams. A couple of them, Jets and Tennessee, were a little worse than I think a lot of people thought, but whatever. We'll talk about them later, individually, on a little later on. So you had four teams that finished 4-12 or worse.
Right.
I actually think all four finished exactly 4-12. Do I have the standings up here? NFL. Regular season standings. Did all four? Jacksonville. Tennessee only won two games, I know, and I think Jacksonville won three, right?
Right.
Okay. So anyway, I digress. Four teams, 4-12 or worse. No teams went 5-11
mm-hmm.
in the AFC. No team went 6-10. Only the Browns went 7-9.
Yep.
So you had 11 teams, 11 out of 16 teams in this conference, finish 8-8 or better.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it was really, the way that it went for the 2014 season in the AFC, it was a matter of, really, as you're painting the picture here, the rich got richer, the poor got poorer, or as I call it, it's the Obama economy year.
I disagree. As usual, this doesn't surprise me, you misread that. I quite frankly think America has over the last 4 years. The middle class just got a little stronger in the AFC. Because,
okay.
I mean, you had the same people on top. You know, you had, you know, New England and Denver were the are the Koch brothers. And then, you know, you got everyone else. Then, you got Buffalo was a little stronger. Baltimore was a little better than expected. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh.
I'd love to
Houston,
do a segment. Just
Kansas
a
City, San Diego. A strong middle class.
We should do a segment assigning every team to somebody. I wonder, like, which team would represent my boy Rand Paul. Certainly not my Cleveland Browns. Rand Paul deserves better than that.
If I'm nice to him, I'll give him the Bills. But anyway, as I digress. But for sake of comparison,
uh-huh.
only 9 of the 16 teams
yeah.
over in the NFC finished 8-8 or better. So,
right.
A little more traditional split there. Now, with the AFC East, look, you said it. I can't remember what the exact cliche that you spewed was. at the beginning of this as I rudely interrupted you. But, you know, it's the Dennis Green thing.
Yeah.
It is, the AFC East is what we thought it was.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, and we've talked about this for 3 years now. It's the Patriots and the three little dwarfs in the AFC East. This division has not produced a wild card team since 2010, which is the Jets, Rex Ryan's
right.
Jets. That was the second year they made it to an AFC title game with Mark Sanchez as a quarterback. Since then, it's just, you know, three teams fighting for second. And we did a pretty good job with this division overall,
right.
I'd say. You know, New England can, you know, let me be the last to say congrats to them for winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Very bitter about that still, that
yeah.
Russell Wilson cost me some money with that interception, or Pete Carroll, whoever called it. I don't know. But, hey, New England's won four times now. Give it up to them. There's really no reason to believe, I think, looking forward to next year, that they won't win it again.
File this under another webcast for another time, but I was thinking about this a little bit today. If you look at the quote-unquote historic dynasties in the history of the league, how many of them had a run of almost their entire run where we could just pencil them in for winning their crappy division?
Well,
it helps to have a buy into the playoffs, Kyle Ross.
And
it does.
Keep in mind, when you're comparing the Patriots to other dynasties,
yeah,
theirs has come in an era where the divisions are Well, I guess in the olden days there were four-team divisions, but,
yeah.
You know, if you look right now at the NFL,
right,
the way it is in the four-team, eight-division format,
mm-hmm.
there are several divisions where one team has basically dominated the existence.
Yeah.
You know, New England, the Colts
yep.
have dominated the South.
Yep.
Green Bay's pretty much dominated the North going back to the Favre era.
They have, yeah.
So, I mean, you've seen a lot of that. It's kind of easier to do now, I think, because you only have
yeah.
three, especially if, as in the AFC East case, the three other teams aren't run very well.
Well, and not as heavy as some of the other examples you're citing, but off the top of my head, if we went back to 2002, I would guess that the Broncos won the West the majority of the years.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego kind of had its run, too. Denver was down a couple of years, but you're
yeah,
right. Yeah,
probably
I would
most,
agree with that.
Yeah.
So anyway, AFC East. I don't have your projections in front of me before the year what they were, but
I
remember mine. So I said New England 11-5. They finished 12-4.
I said 11-5
okay,
as
so
well.
That's
yeah.
pretty marginal. Buffalo, I said 8-8 and would make the playoffs. Ironically, they finished 9-7 and did not make the playoffs.
I said 8-8 as well, but,
okay.
but to not make the
okay,
playoffs.
Okay, so that's pretty marginal, pretty, you know, minimal difference.
Mm-hmm.
Miami was a little bit better than both of us expected. I said 6-10. They finished 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
You had?
I had Miami at 5-11.
Okay,
I was off on that.
You know, I think this was a team, again, we talk about, you know, I joked and called it a stronger middle class.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just a little too negative on Miami. I think they're not.
But there's a lot of dysfunction there. I say this as a Dolphins fan. There's
there
a
is,
lot that's
but
there.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Miami is the most mediocre team in the league, I think.
They are. They're heavily mediocre.
There's nothing that they're bad at when you look at their roster, but there's nothing they're great at either. Like you just kind of look at them, you're like, they're pretty okay there. I mean, there's certain things I would fix, like, you know, Mike Wallace's contract.
Well,
for
and
instance.
That's the thing too. Their salary thing is really kind of ineffective, and that's the kind of thing that hurts you in this day and age in the NFL. If you have a lot of money that's tied up in a guy that's a complete bust, as he's been. So they still have a decent amount of holes. Look, they're a team like any other that if they went out and they had the kind of off season that they would want to have, fill the existing holes via the draft and free agency, we could say next year they could come in and be a strong wild card contender. Maybe division if New England completely steps on their Johnson, but we know that Miami won't do that based on the track record of the last couple of years.
Yeah, they've kind of plateaued.
Yes.
By the way, they had improved by one game each of Philbin's first two seasons. Then
right.
This is their second straight 8-8 finish. I think it's interesting that they retained him. We'll come
I
back.
I have a
we'll
philosophical question for you before we move off
okay.
of Miami. Is Joe Philbin the Ryan Tannehill of coaches, or is Ryan Tannehill the Joe Philbin of quarterbacks?
I don't hate Ryan Tannehill.
Okay. As a fan of the team, I'm not enamored, let me tell you.
He's better. Do you know what's crazy? Is he's better than what a lot of teams have at quarterback. That may be by default, but Joe Philbin, I don't think, is a good NFL coach.
I don't think so either.
I think Tannehill can be. If I had to choose between the two,
mm-hmm.
I'd clearly 86 Philbin before 86 Tannehill.
Can he? Because as far as I'm concerned, and yes, I do.
Tannehill's still young. It's too. All right. This is his watershed year. You cannot move on from Ryan Tannehill. Now, keep in mind, there are younger quarterbacks that I will completely say get rid of him.
Right.
One playing in Cleveland right now that's already, in my opinion, is already done after six quarters of football.
Right.
But Tannehill has shown me enough as if to say, you know, you let this guy play out, he could be okay.
Let me ask you this, because I lump Roethlisberger in with this level, because to me he's not on the Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Breeze level. Roethlisberger, Flacco, Eli Manning. That's the standard that if you have enough around you, and yes, Roethlisberger more so than the other guys, but to me that's a tier. Can Ryan Tannehill get to that tier? If he's not, move on. If he's not somebody that can do that. That's the question for any team. Can you forget about turning a guy into Aaron Rodgers?
I think he could maybe be Joe Flacco. Not the other.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty broad. Like, I mean, I like Roethlisberger a lot more than those other two. So maybe I'm not the right guy to ask.
Yeah.
With that, I think Roethlisberger can win with less compared to those other two.
Compared to the other two, I'd put him ahead of the other two, but I don't put him on the top tier. The top tier guys elevate a team by themselves.
Oh, so yeah. Oh,
less.
You mean like the Brady,
yes.
Luck, Manning,
right.
Rodgers.
Luck's going to be there as well. Yeah.
Okay. I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
Miami's basically no show in the regular season finale against the Jets.
Yeah.
After Philbin had been endorsed for another season by the owner Stephen Ross.
Yep.
I know some people are going to be like, yeah, who cares? It's a meaningless last game of the season. I don't think that bodes well. I think it's a bad sign that, okay, he was assured of getting, you know, of keeping his job, and then the team just comes out and just does a no-show against the Jets. I don't think that plays well.
Let me throw the flip side of the coin, though, at you, because when Carolina started 2-0 this year, you ridiculed when I mentioned the notion of momentum from the previous year.
Momentum?
So how are,
that doesn't exist.
Okay, so how is that supposed to be a hangover going into the next year?
Oh, I don't think it's a hangover.
It,
I just think it's a no.
A warning sign?
I'm not saying it's a momentum. I think it is something that you look at and say, okay, wow, he was assured of keeping his job, and he didn't really do a very good job for the last game.
Okay, you're right about
is,
that.
Is what I think.
Yeah.
Now, the Jets, who was the last team we talked about, I pat myself on the back here. I called for them to go 4-12, and that's where they finished. I said it would be a worst-case scenario year. I said it would be Rex Ryan's final year. More on him in a second, of course. And the reason I thought that, remember, their win total was set at 7.5.
Right.
Some of these dumb players were like saying, oh, we could win the Super Bowl before the year.
Yeah.
I mean, how'd that go? And the reason was that I didn't like them coming to the year. There were multiple reasons. One was I just didn't think much of Geno Smith. Two, they had a 5-1 record in close games the previous year. Those things tend to even them out. There's no
unless your name is Indianapolis.
yeah, exactly. Other than Indianapolis, and one day, I think those chickens will come home to roost. I don't care what anyone says about Joe Cool or Tom Brady. There's not a skill in winning, in consistently winning close games. Just like that's not a skill in recovering fumbles.
Okay,
it's got a lot to do with luck. So what did the Jets do this past year? They went 3-7 in games decided by one possession, points or less. So it worked against them. They had that point differential 2 years ago that was comparable to a Browns team that finished 4-12.
Right.
So I saw it coming. The metrics suggested the Jets would fall flat on their face, and they did. Now let's bring it back around. Todd Bowles comes in. I think there's just going to be a natural – it may not be a large improvement. They've still got to address the quarterback situation because Geno Smith stinks. Let's be honest.
Right. I don't know if they're going to address it, though.
They've got to do something. I mean, are they going to bring –
they've got to. Will
Geno
they?
Smith be the week one starter for the New York Jets?
At this point, I think it's at least a 50.1% chance that he will. Because I don't know what
you can't feel good about that, right?
No, you shouldn't.
Okay,
but in terms of them drinking their own bathwater and thinking, well, we have a guy on the roster who's as good as any other unproven option, I think they could be dumb enough to do that. Sure.
There's some talk that I've seen if Amari Cooper falls to him with the sixth pick, they would take him. That would only help Eric Decker. What a portal signing that was.
That was.
And we kind of call that. That's the classic giving a number two, number one money.
Yep.
And not only.
Alvin Harper thought that was a horrible deal.
Very good. Yes, Alvin Harper to Tampa Bay. Hello. But not only that, but not only was Decker overpaid, but he went for. But like everyone saw it, he's going from Peyton Manning to Geno Smith.
Yeah.
What an awful, awful. So
right.
Eric, which contract is worse, Eric Decker or Mike Wallace?
Wow.
Or, you want to know something else? Buffalo, you could argue, here their contract's not as bad because they're paying them on a rookie wage mm-hmm. scale, Sammy Watkins. But what they gave up to get them, there are three teams
right.
that gave up way too much resource in their hope of a number one receiver. You look at New England, they don't, I mean, Gronk is who's a tight end, you know.
But for Buffalo, giving up a one is better than tying up your salary cap, quite frankly.
Yeah, okay,
it hurts.
I agree. And
so
Watkins,
they're in the best
and
shape.
Also, and Watkins is better than both Mike Wallace and Eric Decker.
He is.
By a mile.
And having said that, again, and as a disgruntled Dolphins fan, I'll still take, believe it or not, and as much of a pain in the ass to the guy is, I'll still take Wallace over Decker because his ceiling, if the light switch ever does go on, is definitely higher than Decker's. Based on what he did in Pittsburgh, there's no question about it. He has the physical skill to be a number one guy, but he has a 10-cent head. I'm not saying the 10-cent head can be repaired, but he's done it before. Decker was always just a cog in a superb machine, frankly. But again, you know, you're talking about do I like dog poop or do I like kitty litter? Yeah. I mean, that's
all,
the choice.
All I should say is Miami should be thrilled that Jarvis Landry emerged.
Yes.
It makes Wallace expendable.
True.
All right. I assume you would. Barring Tom Brady deciding not to play football next year or
yeah.
Bill Belichick retiring, I assume we both think the Patriots are going to win this. I mean, I know I think the Patriots
yes.
are going to win
yeah.
this division.
Yeah.
We'll revisit that in August, obviously, but I think that...
No wild cards for me.
I
don't see any coming out
now,
of
it'll
here.
Be one thing will be interesting is mm-hmm. whether or not the NFL expands their playoffs
right.
to the additional team. Something that I'm not totally against.
That has
by
to
the
be
way.
Collectively bargained, though, correct?
Yeah, it may not happen.
That
in time
won't
for
happen.
This year.
I don't
okay.
think it'll happen time for this year.
New England, by the way, best point differential in the league, +155 during
okay.
the regular season. Did have two very close wins in the playoffs, Baltimore
yeah.
and the Super Bowl. So let's go through these other three. You're saying you don't think any of these three can get a wild card. Buffalo, we have to.
I think
bring
they
this.
Can sniff it. I think they can sniff it, but they have their own quarterback situation. Although they seem determined to give E.J. Manuel a look, and that's kind of scary.
We talked about that a lot, how they really went for broke this past year and
yeah.
didn't pay off because they didn't make the playoffs. They were so desperate.
So
they,
much
meaning
for Doug
the Bills.
Marone being desperate to hang on to his job.
Yeah, 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 yes. I mean, yeah. I mean, they lose.
We read that wrong.
Okay, well, we haven't even really mentioned this.
Yeah.
And we absolutely should when we talk about the AFC East.
Well, yeah.
Rex Ryan to Buffalo.
Yeah.
So, here's what, once Jim Harbaugh decided he was going back to school,
mm-hmm.
I thought Rex Ryan was the best candidate, was the best possible hire that a team could make, okay? But from the isn't it ironic department,
mm-hmm.
I hated him going to Buffalo. I think it is a lateral move. He's got the same kind of roster
yeah.
that he had with the Jets. He's got a great defense, and Buffalo has proven now for a decade, and Buffalo's largely had a pretty good defense
yeah.
year in, year out over the last decade,
mm-hmm.
and they have proven that without a great offense, you're not going to do anything.
Right.
And Ryan's going from, you just said it, he's got E.J. Manuel as opposed to Geno Smith. Is that an upgrade? I thought that was a
yeah.
lateral move. To me, this reeked of kind of a team that's in the NFL's version of Siberia,
yep.
not noticed. They're like, oh, you know, Rex Ryan does such a great job against the Patriots twice
yep.
a year. But, you know, the Jets never were able to overcome the Patriots.
Well, to me, that's
I did not like this hire
win
at
the
all.
Off-season hire. That,
yeah.
That's a total win the off-season deal.
Do you think the Bills match 9 wins next year?
No, I don't think
neither
they
do.
Near
to I. They went 4-0. By the way, they went 4-0 against the NFC
yeah.
last year. Probably not going to duplicate
although,
that.
Although, and here's the thing, too. Macro for the division, we should talk about this as well. They all have the NFC East next year, which is going to be, I think,
it's a pretty mediocre division.
Yeah, I think it's going to be challenging up and down the line. None of
again,
those games.
Again, though, I don't see the Bills winning all four games like they did
no.
this year against the NFC North, ironically, which, you know, tip
that?
Your cap there.
Well, exactly.
Beat Green Bay.
Exactly. And they've got the second most execrable division in football, the AFC South, that they'll be playing. So things will get a little bit easier for them, certainly the games in conference. I think Buffalo falls short because, again, they are, as you said, a team that's very much like what the Jets were in terms of roster makeup. Prior to the Jets falling apart, basically this year unto itself was the third part of the Rex Ryan era there. The first part of it was when they went on their runs to the AFC Championship game. Remember the middle part, those 8-8 teams? That's what Buffalo looks like to me. This is mid-era Rex Ryan in New York.
Agreed. I was going to say, oh, here's another thing that you can't like them. They don't have a first-round pick because they traded away for Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
Again, hindsight's 20/20. I kind of think the NFL draft's a little overrated just because I'm an instant gratification guy and you never know.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, holding on to that first-round pick and just taking Odell Beckham, which is where they were sitting and they could have
got
him, would have been a lot better.
Exactly.
Miami. They went 8-8. Do we think they'll be any better next year? Or are they I think
be in that ballpark.
Plateau is the right thing. They went 6-10 to 7-9 to 8-8 in Philbin's first 2 years. They went 8-8 again. I think this is just like Buffalo is a 7-9 or 8-8 type team.
Yeah, I think so as well. 7 wins, 8 wins, that's about where I slot them. You know, and the Jets, Even though I think at this moment it's marginally more likely to be Geno Smith than anybody else I can think of right
Mariota
now.
Mariota could follow them at 6. If he's there, they'll grab him.
It's possible.
And that doesn't guarantee anything necessarily.
It's possible. Even with Geno Smith, this could be a team that smells 6 wins. I think they're going to be improved.
I just don't think they could be worse. Like, when you looked, they lost. I talked about it, how it sort of It just everything went the other way for them. They were a lucky 8-8 team 2 years ago.
Yes.
In some regards, they were an unlucky 4-12 this past
year.
Although they weren't very good.
We said that a lot last year about teams.
Yeah, it happens every year.
Take what they did the last 2 years.
It happens every year.
And select the midpoint. And I think that's where I come down on the Jets. The midpoint of where they were the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think when I look at this division as a whole, Patriots probably the same. Dolphins probably the same. Bills a little worse.
Yeah.
Jets a little better.
So we agree. Okay. All right, that's our AFC East look there. Any other thoughts on the division?
No, I'm just kind of taking – I just wanted to look at, like, you know, close games with Buffalo and Miami, see if anything jumped out real quick. But
okay.
I don't think – they were pretty even in those departments. So.
Okay. All right, so that's our look at the AFC East. Next up in our series will be the AFC North.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.